Hi, it's Chris Watkin here. In a series of interviews with self-employed agents, I'm talking about their journey of going from employed to self-employed, their fears and their frustrations. Today I'm with Terry Robinson from the Fine and Country Network in the Midlands. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
What I'd like to do is spend, 10 or 15 minutes talking about your journey as an estate agent, from when you originally wanted to become an agent. I know you were a damn good agent when you were employed. The good and the bad times, and why, the fears and the frustrations, and then why you become a self-employed agent, and then since then what's been good and what's been bad. So when did you first want to become an estate agent?
It sort of fell on me. I was out viewing houses with my mum. She was looking to buy a house. I'd never thought about doing it before. 2000.
Okay.
Never thought about doing it before.
So you were a teenager then?
I was, of course. I actually was, you wouldn't think so. 2000, we went out looking at houses, and of course I saw a guy turn up in a suit, nice car, open the door, let us round, and I thought, well, this would be quite easy. And then I sort of worked on it for a year or so, and it was sort of early 2002, I think it was, that I got into it.
Okay. What, and where, who did you join to start with then?
Connells.
What, as chief bottle washer, junior?
That was it.
Okay, so how old were you at this point?
21.
Okay. It was quite easy to get a job. I suppose it was in 2002, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was busy. Sort of fell into it quite quickly.
Okay.
Started as the trainee negotiator and then worked up to doing some valuing. I was only there 3 months, so I worked up there
quite
quickly.
So you were valuing in 3 months? Wow.
Yeah.
What did you enjoy about the valuing?
Just going out and seeing houses rather than doing viewings. It was just going out and looking at properties.
Can you remember your first valuation?
I can remember, yes. It was actually with another company, the first appraisal that I did.
Okay.
But the ironic story was that my boss at the time, I'd never done one with the company, and I'd only really gone out shadowing with the agent before. And the branch manager had got two appraisals, and his wife was pregnant, and they were due to go to this checkup. She went into labour. And he said, I'll have to cancel the appraisals. And I said, well, I'll do them. And he said, well, you won't be able to do them, will you? And the area manager was at the back of the office, and she said, no, you'll have to cancel them. And I just was adamant. I said, no, I'm going to go and do them.
What year was this? Because you moved from Connells.
Yeah, this was with the next agent, 2003.
Okay. And how did those valuations go then?
Listed the first one I ever went to. And then the second one, they got no intention of selling, but I got them to come back into the office and remortgage with a Halifax. So actually the first two, and that was it then. And then I didn't ever become a neg. I just went straight into valuing and started there.
So how long were you at the second firm for then?
Well, the group overall, 13 years.
Okay. So which firm was this?
Halifax, and then into Reeds Rains.
Okay. So were you valuing, or did you get a branch at that time?
I started valuing, and then within about 18 months, I was given a branch to
whereabouts was that?
Leamington.
Leamington Spa. Mm. Royal Leamington Spa.
Royal, of course.
There you go. What did you enjoy about managing a branch? Were you a manager valuer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think at the start, you're quite young, and people who are 10, 15 years older sort of look up to you in a way, because you've come in as this breath of fresh air, new ideas. And at the start, it was really good, and I enjoyed doing it, enjoyed having my own branch that I could open the door to every day and, think, oh, this is, really good, and still go out valuing as the manager, and it added a bit of weight to winning appraisals. And for a period, it was quite good.
Then we obviously hit the bad times of 2008, 2009. And that was the time when the Halifax sold out to LSL, which would be Reeds Rains.
Yes.
How did you feel about that?
There was a lot of uncertainty. We didn't even know which agent we were going to be. And I think I got quite used to a brand, actually. And it was thinking, do we need to start again? How's it going to be? A lot of uncertainty in that.
Okay. And how did that make you feel?
It made me feel almost whether I wanted to stay or not, because I just thought I'd built almost my own. Although it was a Halifax brand, I felt I'd built my own brand as part of a Halifax, and I was almost going to be working for a new estate agent, and it was something I didn't want to do.
Okay, so you got rebranded to Reeds Rains. How did that go?
Well, it went okay, and in the end, I ended up looking after two offices there, which the proposal was offered, and it was really good. But then, as I found out, and as I was warned by other people, just lumped with two lots of offices work, I was a valuer lister in both. It was like having four roles as one.
So this would be 09, 10, around there. We're going into
it's 10, 10, 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two offices with valuing and managing both. It's hard work, mate.
Very hard work. Very hard work. And it affects, I think, in that environment. I remember that was a time in my life that actually I lost quite a lot of confidence that I'd grown, you know, in 2005, 6, 7. I suddenly felt quite old. And I felt...
How old were you at this point, in 10, 11?
2012, I would have been 31.
Okay. So you've got a good 10 years under your belt.
Yeah.
But you're kind of falling out of love with the state agency.
Yeah, and that was about a four-year... almost like a four-year divorce of a state agents for me, because by 15, I just didn't want to do it. But actually, it was all I'd really ever done. So it was a horrible, horrible transition in my life, thinking, I'm desperate to get out of the state agency, but actually, what would I do? And I'd got quite a lot of financial commitment where what I was earning in that role was only really covering all of my outgoings, and I couldn't think of anything else I could have got, so it left me with some big decisions to make.
So when did you make the decision that you had to change? Not what the decision was, but when did you decide this can't go on forever?
Probably about 14.
2014.
Yeah. But as you do with a lot of things, you know, it's you think it's all you're going to ever have. You think it's the best thing out there. You plug away. And I think one thing I'd say to so many estate agents who might be watching this, there's going to be hundreds of people in this boat. You know, you know you're not happy, but you're almost scared to take the jump because it's the fear of the unknown, isn't it? And I stayed for about another year, went on holiday, never went back.
So you know you needed to make a change. What options were in front of you?
When I left, none.
So you literally went on holiday with a mortgage and you decided not to come back to work.
Yep.
Quite a rash thing to do, to hand your notice in on a well-paid two-office network.
It was one of these scenarios where I felt I was also being forced out of the role and I just wanted to get out, and I never went back, and I then sort of sat wondering, what do I do now? But I think in anything in life, you know, you get to a point where you've had enough and you have to just leave.
Quite rash. I mean, surely a more sane person would have probably just said, right, well, I'll look at other options when I get back.
I needed to go. It was one of those. It was that bad. I just wanted to move on. And, you know, and there was things going on in that, you know, it's like a corporate environment that I wasn't happy with. And I just thought, I've gone away on holiday. If I don't come back, that's the break. And I was potentially going to go back and look for things, but it just wasn't good. And there was other issues going on in the office. And I just thought, I'm probably going to be going anyway. Let's just go. And I was sort of, it was about 8-9 days that I wasn't in work. And that was quite a very funny time, because I'd worked since I was 15, you know, and I'm suddenly 34. So I'd worked for 20 years. Mm. Non-stop, full-time, then suddenly I wasn't at work.
So you went looking for a job, did you?
No, I actually got acquainted with Sean Newman under quite a bizarre circumstance, actually. And it was a circumstance that was obviously proved to be fate.
Okay. And you joined Sean as an employed agent?
Self-employed.
But that means you had no money coming in?
Yeah.
How did you feel about that?
Well, I had a meeting with Sean, I'd never met Sean before, never spoke to him before. I'd had nothing to do with the Newmans or the Fine & Country brand. And in typical Terry fashion, you could call it, I just found Sean's phone number, sent him a text. And I think it said something like, Leamington's most feared estate agent is on the market, call me. And about 7 o'clock the next morning, Sean's an early riser, I'm not, but I got woken up by this phone call. And he said, come over to my house and have a chat. And went over, I was there for a few hours, we talked through different things. At the time, I didn't realise that it wasn't an employed role. Came away with a lot of decisions to make, because again, I was thinking about what I needed to earn. But actually, it wasn't as cut and dried as a self-employed cold start opening a business. There's an amazing 4-month opening plan that enables you to earn as much as you want. And I knew what I needed to earn, and I went out, and in those 4 months, I earned what I needed to. Okay. And during that period, I was able to start building the business up.
And what was the support like from your family at this point? What did they think about all this?
They thought it was good. They wanted it to obviously work, but it was something that I knew needed to work. So really, I was that head down, 7 days a week, late nights.
So what did you do in those 4 months when you started?
So we have a magazine called The Refine Magazine, which is a huge property magazine where we showcase the most amazing homes that come out. It comes out every month, and it's all the latest instructions from Farming Country. So I sat very late one night, got a list of all the houses that were for sale in the area. There was about 250, and I simply knocked at every single door and delivered this magazine to every single person. Got into conversations with them, started to get to know them.
Hold on, you door knocked for Farming Country? That doesn't sound right to me.
Delivering a magazine.
You were delivering a magazine. So what were you saying when you were knocking on the door then?
Just going to these people and just saying, "No, hi, I'm delivering a free magazine. You know, there's other houses locally on the market which I thought you'd find interesting." And just getting into a conversation about what they were looking to buy.
So you weren't trying to sell them anything. You were actually going with the intent of giving them something.
Yeah. Ultimately, I needed houses to sell.
Yes.
And we got into some conversations, and actually there were a number of people that were on with a couple of agents that were so unhappy with, and they said, "Would you like to come and have a chat with me?" And I've got the most incredible tools, you know, the brand of Farming Country behind me. I then went out to see these people, and I think the office that I'd got opened on the 1st of August in 2015.
Whereabouts was your office?
Banbury. Yeah.
Okay. So did you have a physical office at that point?
No. Okay. No office for the first 4 months. It was an empty shop, cold start, and so it was a case of getting Rightmove set up, getting desks in there, getting the brand.
But were you paying for all that?
No, that was all done by Farming Country and, okay. and the local network that we have.
Okay.
That was the support was great. It was all covered, it was all set up. I even was able to choose what I wanted in there, you know, as long as it was within the brand. You know, whatever the window displays were I wanted, or whatever sort of desk we want, you know, I was able to pick how I wanted that office to be, to make it feel like my own.
Okay, so when the money started coming in, did you make any changes with your business generation techniques?
No, because I think that's probably the worst thing you can do. You know, I think I hear stories, you know, that you can get up there by doing this, that and the other, and then you forget to do those things, and then you come back down. So just kept doing it, and 5 years on I still do it today, and I don't do it really because I need to do it. I do it because I love doing it. I love going out and meeting people.
But isn't that quite a rare trait to have valuers, because fundamentally that's what you are, going out to get the business? Because most people are afraid of the door knock, afraid of the rejection. What makes you so different?
I think it's the hunger, and actually
but you haven't got hunger, because you've got a lovely house, new missus, decent kids, decent car. You don't need to go out door knocking anymore.
I think
you?
The hunger will never go. I think the hunger's there because I enjoy it so much. Okay. But then
have
I
you
think,
always had that hunger?
Only since I joined Farming Country.
And why is that?
It's just such an exceptional brand. And for the first time in probably, you know, 4 or 5 years from where I was before to joining Farming Country, I fell back in love with the estate agency.
But surely, I mean, I know some Farming Countries around the country which don't use the brand at all and they're not doing very well. So it really can't all be about the brand, I'm sorry.
There's agents that we all have the brand and we all have the same tools available, but I think there are some of them in the network, because they are individually owned businesses, that would rather not get the fee they deserve, and they would rather charge what the other agents are because they think that's all they can get.
Okay.
And as a result, they offer what all the other agents do, and that's a shame for the brand, I think.
Okay. But in Banbury, you're getting decent fees, decent listings at the mid to top end range. Is that what you're focusing on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're not telling me you won't do a deal?
Very rarely will I negotiate on the fee because I know we're worth it. You know, I think you've got to have... As
you've
a business
got a record
owner,
of charging in excess of 2%, haven't you?
2.5% is what I charge.
Okay.
But in fairness, if there is a property out there, you've got to take a decision that you know you're going to sell, you know, and you get it at 2.25%, for example. I'll always do something, but we always aim for, you know, my average fee on exchange last year, I think it was 2.36. So I always try and keep up to 2.5%.
So what exactly does the Sean Newman Hub give to you? Because let's be frank, you split the fee roughly 50-50, give or take. What do you get for your money? Because it's your money, mate.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of support. which I've mentioned. The training is phenomenal. So any new associates that join come along with existing associates, people that have done the job 20 years plus like myself. We all learn from each other, and the tools are great, and we get what we need. So, you know, additional...
But what's stopping you leaving the Sean Newman hub and setting up another Fine & Country? I know he's got the license, that's beside the point. But what's stopping you stay with Sean? Because giving 50% of your fee, or nearest damn it, 50 of your fee away.
I think we've now built up this...
That must be really hard work, having to give half your fee away.
I think what I would say is that I could either set another Fine & Country office up in an unknown town, or I could set up Robinsons & Co, but then I'm going to be battling the people that are charging 0.5%, 0.75%. And if you get 2.5%, and we're also privileged to deal with these £1 million to £3 million houses, that fee that we get will still be way more than charging 1% on a mid-range house.
And you're happy with that?
Very happy, because what we get as well for that is all the setup costs, all the marketing costs. I haven't got to worry at the end of the month how much Rightmove is going to cost me, all those sorts of things. And I meet other agents, actually, that are selling £200,000 houses and having to charge 1% because they don't have a lot of marketing to give, and they have all those costs as well.
So what exactly do you get for your money for giving half your fee away?
You get everything from the basics, which a local agent would have. So you Rightmove, all your marketing, etc. You get ongoing support.
What about the rent and the rates and the electricity and all that?
All of that is covered. The rent for the building, except all that's covered. Now, in my office in Banbury, we've just had the roof fall in. Now, if I was running that office, you know, it may have been covered on insurance, but on this occasion, it wasn't. I may have had £5,000-6,000 to shell out. So it's all those sorts of things that actually...
So basically, he's covering the rent, the rates, marketing, Rightmove, boards, brochures, printing, all that lot. And your job is to go out there and bring it, basically bring the wildebeest home, and he basically sorts all the back end stuff out.
Yeah, it's a partnership. And, you know, obviously there's 300 offices of Fine & Country around the world, but we've got...
There's not every Fine & Country like this, is it?
No, they're not. We've got 16 in this sort of local vicinity, probably sort of 50-mile radius around, where we all work together with Sean. We all meet together, that we're all in forums where we share ideas and success. And we all work with each other. I think what I like about this is... My interpretation of putting your house on the market with a self-employed agent is that they wouldn't have a team of people working for them because they're all out for themselves. But it's not like that here.
I'm really worried that there are going to be people out there who work for a corporate on a Friday who have handed their notice in, who walk in to a self-employed agency role on a Monday and be like a duck out of water. I've heard horror stories of agents that basically... just turn up on a Monday morning and then Tuesday, and they don't go out there and get the business. Why is that? What would you say to those people?
I think there is a rare breed of someone that actually will come straight into a self-employed role. I mean, I always wanted my own estate agents anyway, so it couldn't have been better for me. It was something I wanted to do. I'd even toyed with opening my own independent, but again, as I've mentioned why, it wasn't something I wanted to do at the time, and I wanted to have the brand and the backing of Fine & Country. But it's not easy, you know. I'm not going to sit here and do a video and say that it's just something you fall into and you earn a load of money. There's a lot of work, but if you're prepared to put the work in, if you invest in the time and you believe in yourself...
Why do you think a good third of self-employed agents that start never aren't there in 6 months? Is it because of hard work? It can't be just all down to the brand.
I think it's mainly to do with hard work, but I think also is that it's... maintaining that confidence. It's, you know, if you do something and you don't get a result at the end of that week, a lot of people give up. And of course at the end of that month they give up.
And what would you say to people that do that they give up? Do you think it's a fear? Is it a frustration? What is it?
I think it's probably more frustration than fear, but they're not obviously exercising their own talent. You know, if somebody's prepared to be self-employed, they've got to know they've got some talent, because if they were a junior next selling one house a month, they wouldn't do it.
But a great valuer who can convert doesn't necessarily make a great person that brings the business in the first place.
Not always, you know.
Yeah, it gets a free bar.
Yeah, it's trying to do, still in this industry, a little bit of everything. But when you know it's your own and you can send your own invoice in at the end of the month, and that invoice can either be that big or that big, only you can determine that. it gives you more of an incentive than doing it in a corporate agency when you earn £100 a house for your commission. It doesn't float people's boats.
One final thought to all the agents out there who are worried that they won't be able to fund themselves for a period of 3 or 6 months.
I think if you're going to come into this, you've got to be able to either fund yourself or you've got to come in and not fail. And I know that sounds easy. If you can fund yourself, great. At the time, I wasn't in a position to be able to do that. And I knew I needed to earn X amount for the first 4 months while I was building up my listings that then became sales. And, you know, I was able to do it. But there's a lot of people out there that don't do that. And I think you've got to know that it's going to be right for you. You've got to know that you're going to be able to succeed. And the main thing is putting the work in, you know, to be able to get the result that you need. You'll know what result you need before you start. You've got to get the result.
I mean, if someone wanted to, the second to last question I want to ask you is, if someone's thinking of being a self-employed agent, doesn't matter who with Newman's, Fine & Country, EXP, Keller Williams, are you happy to talk to them?
Absolutely, yeah.
How do they contact you?
More than happy for them to give me a call on my mobile.
Which is?
07736 937633.
What sort of monies are you earning, though, if you don't mind me asking? Don't answer if you don't want to, though.
Well, this was advertised as a role to earn six figures.
Okay.
And sometimes when you see these roles, it's sort of an OTE with a small basic and you're never going to hit it.
Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, but Sean's chucking out them bloody videos, 10K club, 20K club. It all sounds a load of rubbish to me.
No, well, there's a lot of us, including me, in there. It was, you know, and I don't mind sharing it, it was advertised as a six-figure salary, and each year since I started, I've exceeded that. So,
well, it's not even a salary, though, is it?
No. And that's again, actually, it's a word I probably shouldn't have used, because it isn't. It's a beauty. You know, you can earn as little or as much as you want, but what was offered to me, I've put the work in, and I have got that result. So there's a lot of people out there, and I will say, me included, when I started, my worry was, is this too good to be true? And I can sit here 5 years on and say that it isn't too good to be true.
It's not all about money, though, is it?
No, I mean, it's about happiness, you know. And I think in terms of your personal life, mine's the best it's ever been. And I think you've got to...
If you don't mind me saying, I've been seeing your pictures on Facebook the last 18 months and you're like a dog with two tails, mate.
I wonder what you're going to say then. No, it's good. But actually, that also helps you feel better at work. And the better you are at work and the better you do... You know, you take that back to your home life. So everything's really good, you know.
Thanks very much, Terry, for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your honesty. This is part of a series of stories of agents who've made the move over to self-employed agency. Terry's kindly given his number out. Give him a call. I have a series of self-employed agent stories on my YouTube channel. And check those out. As I said, I'm really pro self-employed agency. It's not for everyone. You've got to go out there and do the hard work. But if you're prepared to be smart and put the hard work in, you'll win. And more importantly, you'll earn loads of money. And even more importantly, as you said before, make you bloody happy. So cheers, mate. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.